just standing there.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, August 7th, 2016, and I am, as usual, broadcasting from Panama. Yes, Sariba. Boy, we got a topic tonight. And tonight's topic is the rise and fall of flu mist. That's a vaccine. Can the nasal spray flu vaccine be redeemed? This is a shocking title, and this is the title of an email that showed up in your doctor's inbox about a month ago. And so it talks about, can the flu vaccine be redeemed? Well, why would a person need to redeem a vaccine? Maybe you could redeem a human being. Maybe since it is medicine, we could talk about saving human beings, maybe improving their lives or saving their lives. But no, the doctors are being asked to participate in, or at least support from the sidelines, the resurrection and redemption of a vaccine. Why would something need to be redeemed? Well, of course, redemption is something beneficial that happens after something awful. So let's take a look and see what awful thing happened. Rise and fall of flu mist vaccine. It's the nasal spray vaccine. And this is Dr. Paul Offit. And he is a staunch vaccine supporter, which is understandable. I mean, that's his job. And he works at/for the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, also known as CHOP. And this is the University of Pennsylvania, where I trained at. And this is the Children's Hospital associated with the teaching hospital that I trained at. And so Dr. Offit is very concerned about this vaccine. And this is something that took place Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016, at a meeting of the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices. Now, this is a medical committee, pro-medical industrial complex, pro-immunization, and this is what they said. They made the following recommendation. In light of the evidence for poor effectiveness, this is a live influenza vaccine, otherwise known as flu mist, in the United States. Over the last three influenza seasons, so for three influenza seasons, they've given this vaccine, even though it had poor effectiveness. So the recommendation for the upcoming 2016-2017 season, that's right now, the Academy for Immunization Practices makes the recommendation that flu mist should not be used. All right? This is a huge thing. And this is it's not me, it's not some alternative whatever, not some anti-vaccine person. The committee in charge of recommending vaccines has said, so the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices says, do not use the flu mist vaccine. And so Dr. Offit, of course, is shocked. He says, this is terrible. He says, how did we get here? Years ago, flu mist was preferred over the inactivated influenza vaccine for a few reasons. Now, let's just say, we're going to say that what Dr. Offit is saying is accurate. So let's just accept this. It's important. It worked better than the inactivated vaccine. So it replaced it was introduced, and they said it worked better than the inactivated vaccine. And they said they had studies and trials, evidence. Okay, we're going to accept that. In children, it is easier to give and is often preferred. All right, that's pretty straightforward. It's easier to spray something up a kid's nose than to stab them with a needle. Got it? And three, it reproduces itself at the nasal mucosal surface and induces local immunity, which in theory should allow the recipient to shed less virus and therefore be less contagious. So if a virus reproduces itself at the nasal mucosa, that means there's more of the virus. And so when a person sneezes, of course they're going to spread this virus all over the place. This is just common sense, right? You don't need a medical degree to sort that out, right? The virus is in the snot. It multiplies. Maybe there's local immunity. That's nice. It's the person who has the vaccine is immunized. We're going to accept that theory. We're not going to question that. But obviously, if you have a live vaccine, it's in the nose. It's reproducing like crazy. If the kid sneezes, he's going to spew this live virus everywhere. He's not going to shed less virus. He's going to shed more virus because he just told us that this live virus reproduces itself. That means it makes more and more. For every one virus, maybe there's 2 or 10 or 20 or 100 or a million. Who knows? But there's more. Okay, so he's just given us some information that's pretty seriously contradictory. All right, but that's okay because we're going to believe it. Now, unfortunately, over the past few years, FluMist has underperformed compared with the inactivated vaccine. Well, wait a minute. Were those studies faked? Well, let's go back and recheck those studies. Well, wait a minute. If FluMist is more, the study showed that the FluMist was more effective, and now when we administer the FluMist, we see it's less effective. Okay. Reaching a new low last year when the effectiveness was estimated to be 3%. In other words, 3% of those vaccinated were believed to have benefited. This is a rate that was indistinguishable from placebo. In other words, it was the same as doing nothing. In other words, it was fraud. It was as if you just sprayed salt water up the kid's nose or nothing at all. Well, wait a minute. Do those parents get a refund? How does this work? But anyway, Offit doesn't address these issues. He just keeps going. Well, why did this happen? Why did what happen? Why was a vaccine made to be compulsory when it was actually ineffective? Why was a vaccine which was proven effective in research trials found to be ineffective when actually used? That's the question you should ask. Why did this happen? So we don't know what question he's really asking, but he goes on to say it's hard to know. So why did what happen? Why did the fraud happen? Why did the vaccine stop working? So he's saying, but when you give an inactivated vaccine into a muscle, the antigen, that means a dead vaccine, the antigen, that means a protein, is taken up by local lymph nodes, processed, and presented to the immune system. When you give the FluMist vaccine, you're giving a live virus that contains some protein, and those proteins may not get to the lymph nodes. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't this have been figured out during the research? If this was really the case, then how was it that the FluMist vaccine was shown to be more effective in clinical trials? So this has got to be, this of course is not resolved anyway at any point, but let's go on. It gets better. He says, by definition, these viruses are not replicating well. So he's figuring out that maybe this theory is not holding up. So these viruses are not replicating as well as maybe we thought, or not well enough to make the theory work. Because either prior immunity or a dominant strain is affecting their capacity to replicate. Time out. If the person has prior immunity, then why is that a problem? Because what you're trying to establish is immunity. The person already has it. Well, that's good. Do we want to destroy immunity just so the vaccine can replicate more? In a dominant strain, what's a dominant strain? A dominant strain would be another virus. We'll say, we'll call it a good virus, because there are beneficial viruses out there, might be affecting the capacity of this flu virus, which is instilled, to replicate. So in other words, the kid's body might be mounting a pretty good defense against these viruses that are introduced into the nose. And so now he says, well, switching from one type of FluMist formulation to another FluMist formulation hasn't really helped over the past few years. And he says, these are answerable questions. For example, we can look at shedding of these viruses that was the case with the oral polio vaccine. Now, just for your information, if you get had the oral polio vaccine, a live vaccine, and you were near someone who had chemotherapy and a poor immune system, you could actually cause auntie or grandma to get polio, by the way. Say nothing of the fact that the oral polio vaccine was associated with many cases of polio in the recipients, but Dr. Offit does not mention this, and that's okay. So in that vaccine, be the polio, the virus is actually contained in larger quantities because two other viruses were able to replicate more efficiently on the intestinal mucosal surface. And so he's saying is, Flumist was an excellent vaccine. Hopefully it can be redeemed. Well, how could it be an excellent vaccine if its effectiveness was no different from doing nothing? So this is an interesting question. So there's two possibilities. Either Dr. Offit suffers from a mental processing disorder, or the effectiveness of the vaccine is not measured by patient benefit. This is the second one is more like it, because I went to University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. This is a medical school Dr. Offit's associated with, and they have pretty high standards. So I don't think they would put someone with Alzheimer's in charge of so much at a hospital. So I'm going to accept that Dr. Offit's credentials are valid and give him credit for an intact reasoning process. Then, since his reasoning processes are intact, his reference to the success of Flumist must refer to something unrelated to the benefit to the people that received it. But he gives three reasons. One, it worked better than the inactivated vaccine. Okay, that's not true. Two, in children, it's easier to give. Aha, there you go. So the success of the vaccine is that it was easy to administer. And more people, therefore, were able to take it, and therefore it was better financial economic success. And the third thing was that it reproduces itself at the nasal mucosal surface and induces local immunity, which we know is not true because it was found to be as effective as placebo, which is doing nothing. So he's measuring a vaccine success by the number of people who agreed to take it and how easy it is to administer. This is a serious flaw. Now, the other thing that they take a look at, of course, is people who oppose vaccines. Now, this is a serious issue in medical circles, as you might imagine. I mean, it's such a serious issue that they've even given doctors pointers on how to deal with people who refuse vaccines. And the title of this article is Understanding Those Who Do Not Understand, A Brief Review of the Anti-Vaccine Movement. And this was written in 2001, which means it's been a while that they've been putting out this information to doctors on the evils of people who object to vaccines. And this relies on quite a bit of information from the Mayo Clinic and published in Elsevier Vaccines. All right. So they go through current cultural context and concerns, why people are concerned. And this is an interesting section in the article, and it says, genesis of concerns. First, we must acknowledge that vaccines can and do cause harm. Holy cow, is that right? And may even carry unknown risks. May carry unknown risks. Vaccines have been associated with adverse effects, from the frequent occurrence of brief and mild local inflammation following tetanus toxoid injection. Now, my mother actually got a frozen shoulder from tetanus toxoid injection, to the rare occurrence of paralytic polio following vaccination. Now, the rare occurrence of paralytic polio following vaccination What they fail to mention is every single case of polio in the United States since 1985 has been exclusively from the vaccine, just by the way. So even though that may be rare, it's the only cause of polio in the United States. Okay, got it. Inescapable, however, is that it is impossible to fully know all the possible risks of a given vaccine until it is widely used in the population. And why is this the case? I mean, in the case of flu mist, they couldn't even figure out the effectiveness before it was widely used. So this is a problem when you have a biological agent that you're giving large numbers of people and you have no clue in advance, one, if it's effective, or two, if it's safe. Okay. And so many of the concerns commonly expressed by anti-vaccine groups include the idea that vaccines are foreign material injected into otherwise healthy persons in order to lower their probability of future harm. This is true. In parallel with this concern is an increasing number of antigens and injections by virtue solely of the number of vaccines are thought to somehow carry additional risk, not true of the individual vaccines by themselves. Stop right there. It is a fact in medicine, it is understood and accepted, that when you give two drugs together, the resulting side effects are worse than if either drug had been given alone. The results are also worse than the additive mathematical percentage. So in other words, if one drug causes nausea and vomiting in 10% of people, another drug causes nausea and vomiting in 5% of people, you administer both drugs together, the number of people you expect to get nausea and vomiting is greater than 15%. How much greater? Depends on the combination. But the side effects of drugs that are given together are actually more than additive. So this is actually a valid concern, something that's actually scientifically observed to be the case. Okay. So by solely the number of increasing the number of vaccines are thought to somehow carry additional risk, not true of the individual vaccines by themselves, such as vague concerns over increased risk of cancer or of autoimmunity illness. Okay, stop right there. Most vaccine package inserts carry a warning that autoimmune disease, and in some cases even cancer, future cancer, is a side effect. Now, the other thing to note about children is children also take antibiotics, and many pediatric antibiotics have cancer as a side effect. All right, so the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has developed a booklet examining the most common objections that anti-vaccine advocates express regarding vaccines. These include the idea that the disease had already begun to disappear prior to the use of vaccines. Concerns that the majority of people who get a vaccine-preventable disease were previously immunized, and that there are not lots of vaccines particularly associated with a greater frequency and or severity of adverse events and deaths than other lots. In other words, depending on which bottle the needle was inserted in, that dictates your frequency of side effects. And this has actually been the case. And this is why doctors are told to document the lot number of the bottle they use to vaccinate children. You can imagine how many bottles are made. You can imagine how long these lot numbers are. You can imagine how easy it is to mistranscribe them, just by the way. All right. And that vaccine-preventable diseases have been eliminated already. And that multiple vaccines overload the immune system and vaccines are not natural. When we come back, we'll go through more. No, please don't go.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And so we're talking about flu mist, a vaccine that has proven to be ineffective, so much so that the Advisory Council on Immunizations has recommended it no longer be given. And so, of course, there's been a lot of brouhaha about people protesting vaccines. Oh, I don't want to get a vaccine. I don't want to vaccinate my children. And these people are just unreasonable. And so what we're taking a look at is an article in the Journal of Vaccination, of all things, talking about these people and their fears and their unreasonable concerns. And so he's saying these concerns are widely promulgated on anti-vaccine internet websites. They take advantage of the internet to increase their presence in the debate, but also publicize and dramatize cases of vaccine reactions to the media and the public. So an example of the effects described is illustrated by a recent nationally representative telephone survey of 1,600 U.S. parents and children less than 6 years old. The results are, of those interviewed, 25% of parents believed a child's immune system was weakened by too many vaccines. 23% believed that children got more immunizations than was good for their health. And 15% did not want their next child to get at least one of the currently recommended vaccines. Now, this is amazing that you've got 50% of people have doubt about vaccines, 50, yet only 15% are going to not get vaccinated as a result of it. So that's a victory for the vaccinators for sure. Further evidence of this phenomenon is that the number of reports to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System is now about 11,000 per year, exceeding the reported incidence of most childhood vaccine-preventable diseases combined. Of course, as an individual concerned, the number of reports rise without regard to differentiating adverse events caused by a vaccine. This goes on and on and on, but at no point does it say these concerns by the anti-vaccinators are untrue. This is important. There's a complaint that the concerns are being voiced. There's a complaint that the concerns are causing people to doubt vaccines, but there is no mention that these concerns are false. And they do start out by saying, hey, vaccines do cause harm. And so we have this rather feeble, but, you know, from a propaganda or a public relations point of view, well-constructed article. But it gets worse than that. Turns out that a lot of people don't want to get vaccinated. And because they don't want to get vaccinated, they've actually prevailed upon the professional organization to represent them and express their refusal to get vaccinated and to support the refusal to get vaccinated. So who are these people? Well, first and foremost is the American Medical Association. It's a bunch of doctors. So doctors who are charged with vaccinating you do not want to get vaccinated. It's like, we'll vaccinate people, but we don't want to have vaccinations as a requirement for our employment. Very, very interesting. Who else doesn't want to get vaccinated? Service Employees International Union, representing healthcare workers. So people who work in hospitals, people who are charged with wrapping up the vaccines and sending them up to the floor and delivering them to the nurse's station, all these people don't want to get vaccinated. People who are in charge of caring for folks in the hospital, folks who are vaccinated, somehow they don't want to get vaccinated. Could it be that they're observing something that they're not impressed with, something that's worried them? The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, another doctor's group, says, hey, we don't want to get vaccinated. Don't make us get vaccinated. It's not lawful. Then the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. These include people who work at county medical centers where, you know, they give out vaccines, municipal employees, local municipalities, people who actually pass all these rules about vaccines in your school. American Federation of Teachers. More and more cases, vaccines are being given in schools. So these are basically school workers. These are teachers who are in charge of telling your kids, teaching your kids, that vaccines are important. You can't live without them. And also the Association of Flight Attendants, Communications Workers of America. They don't want to get vaccinated. Here's a big one, the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Unions. Kaiser Permanente, this is the biggest, longest existing HMO in the United States. Their employees, their union says, no, don't make us get vaccinated as a part of the condition of employment. You have to ask yourself, if these vaccines were so great, if they saw such great effects from these vaccines, wouldn't they want these vaccines? So what do these groups say? Well, oh, another one. OSHA is against vaccines. They don't want to get vaccines. When we get back, we'll hear more.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And so we're looking at the groups who are objecting to vaccination. These are groups in large part charged with making sure you get vaccinated, but they have decided that they do not want their members to be vaccinated, and that they do not want vaccination to be a condition of their own employment, even though part of their job is making sure that you get vaccinated, and they have quite a bit of contact with vaccinated people. Okay. Well, one group, which is shocking, is OSHA. This is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration in the United States, and it's their job to making sure that the workplace is a safe place. Now, one reason for vaccinating healthcare workers is to make sure the workplace is safe, supposedly. But what does OSHA say? Well, OSHA, of all people, says influenza vaccination exemption should be allowed for healthcare personnel with valid medical contraindications of vaccinations. That sounds good. You'll be interested to know there's almost no valid health contraindication of vaccination, or religious or personal objections. Personal objections. In other words, they don't need a reason. Any personal objection is fine. So employee relations and public health are not well served by the use of coercion, that's force, to achieve flu vaccination ends. And again, keep in mind, the flu mist, which is a totally ineffective vaccine, was one of those flu options. And also keep in mind that just because the Vaccine Recommendation Council has said don't use flu mist, it doesn't mean that it won't be used. It's just a recommendation. And it is not consistent with our national values of openness, respect, and informed consent around medical treatments we receive. Now, informed consent has really been totally contorted. So informed consent means that a person is entitled to information, and once receiving that information, can either consent or not consent. This has been twisted to mean that a person's consent is presumed, but prior to that consent, they're entitled to information, but they still have to consent. And this is what is evolving in terms of the doctor's perception of informed consent, which is, did I inform the person of all these things? Okay, now I've informed them, and now they're supposed to consent. When actually, no, they're supposed to exercise their decision-making power or freedom using the information provided as a consideration. And they can use rely on it or not, but the final decision is theirs. So OSHA, in charge of occupational safety, does not favor forced immunizations. AFL-CIO Labor Union, what do they say? They say healthcare workers must be permitted to refuse the annual seasonal influenza vaccine without fear of reprisal for medical, religious, or personal reasons. And so it's important that everyone here says a person needs to be able to refuse for no particular reason at all. In other words, just because I feel like it. Or better yet, because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like getting a vaccine, I'm not gonna. And that should be all the reason a person needs to give. Now, a large organization representing government employees wrote, this is Ask Me, that they cannot endorse recommendations urging that employers require influenza vaccination without allowance for philosophical exemptions. In other words, philosophical means, you know, I just don't think so. That's just how heavy that is. Members of the AFT, a professional organization for teachers, agreed that requiring teachers to accept mandatory vaccinations was a change in their employment terms and could not result in termination or disciplinary action. In other words, hey, we got a union, we organized a contract, this was not in our contracts, so you can't make us do this. And so they're saying the mandate should be the adoption of a comprehensive standard similar to OSHA, bloodborne pathogen standard, with requirements for training, voluntary immunization, and refusal after education. Now, this is an interesting thing, because a lot of times the education is very onerous and burdensome. My sister worked for a psychiatric hospital, and she decided she wasn't getting any shots. This is 20 years ago. And what they did was subjected her to literally a training of several hours, then verbal coercion, I would even call it abuse, and then asked her to sign a form refusing. And so a lot of times, this ability to decline after education, while it may exist, is rigorous and itself a deterrent. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, a 70-year-old organization, 4,000 members across all specialties, they stated, the Association of American Medical Physicians and Surgeons objects strenuously to any coercion of healthcare personnel to receive influenza vaccine. It is a fundamental human right not to be subjected to medical interventions without fully informed consent. And again, not to be subjected to interventions without fully informed consent. And so they put the emphasis on the information, not the consent. I'm just saying this is how people interpret this type of phraseology, when actually a person has a right to simply not consent. I mean, consent means a voluntary yes. In addition to the two healthcare groups mentioned in this section, let's see, who else says no? Of course, the American Medical Association. And this is really shocking when you see this double standard of people saying, hey, I will enforce the rule that everyone else get vaccinated or force vaccination, but I don't want to be subject to that same rule. And this is a huge, huge, huge issue. And this is actually from the Vaccine Truth or Vac Truth website. Now, one thing they point out, which I am very happy they do point out, which is that flu vaccines don't work. They're ineffective. And this is a huge thing to understand about the vaccines, is that they are ineffective. So the flu vaccine is basically ineffective, and it doesn't work. Now, you can go on the next step, which is the side effects of the flu vaccine. And certainly as a doctor practicing, I can tell you, my patients who get the flu vaccine, who got the flu vaccine, were sicker than those who did not get the flu vaccine. And so this is a vantage point that people deciding whether to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine don't really have. I got the vaccine 1 year, and I said, you know what? One year I did not get the vaccine because I thought I might be pregnant. I was working on conceiving that year. And that was just the healthiest year ever. And so from that point on, I did not get the flu vaccine. But this is important to realize that what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. In other words, one rule for the peons and another rule for everybody else. But of course, it gets even worse. Now remember, the flu-mist vaccine just doesn't work. Now the other thing to remember is the pertussis vaccine, the acellular pertussis vaccine, just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And this was discovered when the incidence of pertussis increased tremendously in the early 2000s. And they realized, whoops, it was because the vaccine formulation was changed in the 1990s. And those people vaccinated during that time are not immune to pertussis. And so they're getting pertussis. And of course, there are deaths from pertussis. How many deaths from pertussis? Just so you know, 4 in 10,000 people infected with pertussis die. How many people in the general, well, first of all, how many babies in the first year of life are going to die from any cause? Answer, 60 in 10,000. How many people in the United States of any age, just on average, die each year? Answer, 80 in 10,000. So we're looking at pertussis as a death rate of 4 in 10,000, which means if you get pertussis, your chances of dying that year are less than if you did not get pertussis. Okay, so we have now realized that pertussis as an affliction is actually less dangerous than not having pertussis. All right, so now that we know that, let's take a look at this article. And this is actually shocking, and this is on a website. And I guess it's designed to get people to go after anti-vaccinators and see them as a threat to all of humanity. So it says, 16 years ago, a doctor published a study. It was completely made up, and it made us all sicker. Now, explain me this. Someone writes an article in a newspaper, and it makes everybody in the world sicker. That's a pretty powerful article. And I would have difficulty believing that the publication of such an article would make everybody on Earth sicker. But let's just see what they say. Once upon a time, a scientist named Dr. Andrew Wakefield published in the medical journal The Lancet, that's a famous medical journal, that he had discovered a link between autism and vaccines. Now, this is 2014, December, before the revelation by Dr. Thompson of the CDC that the CDC had faked data. It was discovered that he'd made the whole thing up. The Lancet publicly apologized and reported that further investigation led to the discovery that he had fabricated everything. Okay, now again, let's accept all this at face value. Let's just say that vaccines don't cause autism. Let's just say that Dr. Wakefield's conclusion or study was not accurate. And let's just say we're going to rely on what these vaccinators or pro-vaccinators say. So, first of all, the vaccine, pertussis, is not required for most human beings. So if you're over 5 years of age, you have no requirement for pertussis vaccine. If you're over 20 years of age, you have no requirement for pertussis vaccine. So since most people in the world are over that age, whether or not they get a vaccine is irrelevant. And so whatever Dr. Wakefield said about pertussis did not make us all sicker. It may have made some people sicker who maybe would have been healthier had they taken the pertussis vaccine, but the pertussis vaccine is not something that's recommended for every last individual every year. So that's not true. So we have here a lie just on the face of it. Okay. So 16 years ago, got it. Doctor, got it. Published a study, got it. Made us all sicker. Not true. And so they're saying that as people were sick because they refused to take this vaccine, the pertussis vaccine. This is what they're telling the public. Now, if you go to Medscape, another Dr. Offit piece, and we talk about the pertussis vaccine, he talks about the acellular pertussis vaccine, how it's not effective, how we need to go back to a more dangerous vaccine. And he admits that it has more side effects, it's more dangerous. And so when was that ineffective vaccine first used? In the mid-90s, actually, before Dr. Wakefield's study came out. His study came out in 1998. And so they're attributing the ineffectiveness of the vaccine or the lack of effectiveness of the vaccine to people not taking it, which is not true because people are still taking the vaccine. And so in the medical community, the pertussis outbreaks are attributed to the reduced effectiveness of the vaccine. And they've actually done studies on the pertussis vaccine comparing children who got the acellular vaccine with children who got the vaccine that had the live pertussis in it. And they have this incredible graphic, but what really reveals everything is that 50,000 people were infected and there were 20 deaths. So that would be 2 deaths per. So 20 deaths in 50,000 people means that there for 5,000 people, there were 2 deaths. So this is a very, very low death rate. And what this means is that, again, having pertussis is less deadly than not having pertussis. So if you have pertussis, your death rate is 1 in 2,500, where that's if you have pertussis. But if you don't have pertussis, your death rate is 6 per 1,000. Which would be 18 per 2,500. And so the death rate for pertussis is far less than the death rate for kids who don't have pertussis. So again, just using their own statistics here, you can see that these kids who got pertussis had a better outcome / survival than the kids who did not have pertussis. Very interesting. And so now they're saying, well, we need to vaccinate against something that apparently appears to be associated with increased longevity and increased life in children. And they go on to say, vaccine myths. Vaccines are ridden with toxic chemicals that can harm children. Yes, they are. They have formaldehyde and other things in them. Decision to not vaccinate my child only affects my child. And here they say, unvaccinated children who contract the disease can infect infants yet to be inoculated. Now, the other truth, though, as we saw with the flu mist vaccine, is the vaccinated child has got this flu in his nose, and when he sneezes, he spreads this flu virus everywhere. The other thing that you notice is that with the polio vaccine, the children shed the live polio virus, and they can infect and even kill their elderly relatives who have cancer or are receiving chemotherapy or radiation. So the decision to vaccinate your child definitely affects other people, and it's not a positive effect. Receiving too many vaccines at once can override a body's immune system. That's possible. Or so-called myths.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others. And you're welcome to call in.
This is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And so what we're talking about is the issue of these vaccines simply not working. And even worse is when you look at the death rate among children infected with pertussis, it's actually lower than among the children not infected with pertussis. So then do you really want to prevent something that's associated with a lower death rate? Probably not. Now, the other thing to which is even worse, of course. Let's just take a look at the more on the vaccine. This is the whooping cough vaccine. And the whooping cough vaccine is the subject of the infographic, which says that 16 years ago, a doctor published a study completely made up and made us all sicker because, of course, it made people stop getting their pertussis vaccine, and this caused the outbreak. And again, this is what the public is getting. This is on a site called Upworthy.com. But what are the doctors being told? Well, the doctor's being told in a pediatrics journal, June 2013, volume 131, issue 16, comparative effectiveness of acellular versus whole cell pertussis vaccine in teenagers. And bottom line, what do they say? It says this study indicates and supports a need for a safer and more effective vaccine. So this study supports and highlights the need for new pertussis vaccines that provide both an improved safety profile, in other words, it's dangerous, and long-lasting immunity. So the vaccine does not provide immunity. Let's take it a step further. Let's put it in English. We go to National Public Radio, NPR, shots, health news from NPR. Whooping cough vaccines protection fades quickly. Lately, Californians have been focused on a measles outbreak that got us started at Disneyland, but in the past 5 years, state health officials have declared epidemics of whooping cough twice, in 2010 and in 2014. Again, the ineffective vaccine was released in the mid-90s, and that's what everyone's getting now. When 11,000 people were sickened and 3 infants died. Again, 11,000 sickened and 3 died. So what are we looking at? A death rate of 1 per 3 or 4,000. That's a pretty low death rate when you're looking at a baseline death rate of 8 per 1,000, or basically 24 per 3,000. So this is a pretty low death rate. Now, analysis of recent whooping cough epidemic in Washington State shows the effectiveness of the vaccine that was used waned, that means reduced or weakened or lessened, significantly. For adolescents who received all their shots, effectiveness within 1 year of the final shot was 73%. That means a 27% ineffective rate. That means 27% of people fully vaccinated were not immune. The effectiveness rate plummets to 34% within 4 years after the shot. So in other words, and they're measuring effectiveness by presence of antibodies. Okay, so only 34 people were immune 4 years after their shots. So that means that 66% had no benefit from getting the shots. 66%. This reduction in the effectiveness of the vaccine is likely contributing to the increase in pertussis among teenagers, the author wrote. So in other words, it has nothing to do with vaccine refusal. It has nothing to do with whether you agree with Dr. Wakefield or not, or whether his study was accurate, or even that he did the study. These outbreaks are because the vaccines are simply not effective. And so if you have a vaccine that's not effective, let's call it fraudulent, is it reasonable, desirable, to make a law compelling people to take a vaccine that's not effective? Now, we've talked about, so saying DTA, tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, protects against three diseases, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. Pertussis protection is from the acellular pertussis vaccine introduced in 1997. To replace the whole cell vaccine. And so this is the crux of it, is that the vaccine doesn't work. Now, we talked about the tetanus vaccine, which does not work because tetanus is a disease from cow manure working on farms. And you get a rusty nail on the farm that's been around cow manure, and you step on it, and that's how you get tetanus. And the fact that there's no more tetanus is because most people live in cities. And the rusty nails have not been doused with cow manure. So the take-home message is that the waning or weakness is there, said Dr. Art, a University of California, Berkeley professor of public health. You are protected initially, but it wanes over time. Well, wait a minute. 27% of people are never protected. And over time, 66% are not protected.